Welcome. This is Michelle Moreland, the Geeky Diva, with the Variety Radio Online. Today, I'm excited to have with me again Chad Michael Collins. He's a wonderful person, and he's done some amazing things. I've had the opportunity to speak to him a couple of times in the past. He's well known for several things. He did Once Upon a Time. He did the NCIS. He's done lots of things like that that you may recognize him in some of the shows on TV. But then he's also done a wonderful series called Sniper, and we'll talk a little bit about that today as it's coming to its ultimate kill and conclusion. And then also Extinct, and this is a new series on the BYU TV network, and so it's a fiction, I mean sci-fi fiction, sci-fi fantasy, and we're going to talk about that. Welcome, Chad.
Well, thank you. That was quite a welcome. I love talking to you guys. Whenever I can, all that wonderful wonderful was used so generously to describe me that you're gonna keep me coming back and keep this up.
Yay! Well, you know, Chad, you're always every time I speak to you, you're relaxed. It's fun. You know, we can go whichever way. That's what's nice. It's an interview that I feel like the fans can enjoy. And you have some great things to talk about right now, so that's kind of also exciting. I'm happy for you, and congratulations on getting the couple of things going out here. So,
yeah, thank you, Michelle. I'm very excited about these two projects, and they just so happen to be released like 2 days apart. So it's great to be able to talk about both of them at the same time.
Yeah. So we'll start with Sniper, because that's where I have, obviously I've seen those, and I haven't seen, obviously, Ultimate Kill. So let's talk a little bit about what the fans can expect in this series and this last one coming out. It is the last one, correct?
It's the most recent
Maybe?
One. We don't know that it's the last one.
Gotcha.
You know, so far there's been seven Sniper films made going back to 1993. With the original Sniper film. So, you know, this is the fourth one that I've been able to be a part of since they kind of rebooted the franchise and introduced my character, Brandon Beckett. So I've done four of these films since 2011, and, yeah, our latest is called Sniper Ultimate Kill, which is an ultimately awesome title, I guess. And I reunited with the director of the first one I ever did, Claudio Fay. He came back to direct this one, and I got to say, it is hands down the biggest, best Sniper film we've made to date. It looks great. The story is tight. It's a lot of fun. It's got a lot of different looks and feels, and one of the best parts about this movie is that we have Billy Zane and Tom Berenger, who are the stars of the original 93 film. They're both together in this film for the first time since the original in 93. So they're reprising their characters kind of 20, 25 years later. And the movie is so much more fun because of both of these guys being here at the same time. So really excited about audiences getting to see them work their magic together in a way that they haven't in, you know, two decades.
Yeah, no, that is exciting. That is kind of cool, like you said, to come on and play Brandon in the past four, the last four, and then to have the original from the very original Sniper. That had to be a very cool experience since you had kind of, you know, come part of it, of the Sniper family. So
it is, and you know, we've over the course of these films, Billy would be in one, and then Tom would be in the next one, and then you know, Billy and Dennis Haysbert would be in the next one, and so now we've got them both together in this. And this movie is really cool. It's got such a different feel because, you know, we're tasked with like taking out, you know, narcos. We're going down to Bogota, Colombia, to take out a really vicious drug lord. And so the whole movie is not only shot in the mean streets of Bogota, which was an amazing place to shoot, but we engage in kind of more of an urban warfare type feel where we're literally using all sorts of great pieces of this big 8 million person city. And it's really fun because usually, you know, you see a lot of like the ghillie suits and the camo, and we're out in the wilderness. We've got a little bit of that too, of course. What Sniper movie would be complete without that? But, you know, for the most part, we're in street clothes trying to remain incognito and setting up shop and setting up our hides, you know, right in buildings in this kind of like second world country. And so that was really, really fun. And you know, when we go after this drug lord, we discover that he's got a hired gun of his own. He's got an elite sniper that squares off against us. However, this guy is a bit of a cheater, and he's got a bunch of advanced military tech weaponry that, you know, basically he's firing missile bullets. So we kind of all, for more than we bargained for, and underestimate this drug lord and everything else. So we're kind of all strange places, strangers in a strange land, and so it kind of becomes the fight of our lives and our careers up to this point.
Yeah. So what did you find difficult shooting in this area, as far as location or the acceptance, permits, or working around the locals? What were some of the things that you guys had to overcome?
Yeah, I think anytime you shoot on location, and we shoot every sniper film, you know, in a different place around the world.
Yeah,
we've been to South Africa, we've been to Bulgaria, we've been to Greece, Turkey. So Bogota, anytime you go to a foreign land where there's a foreign language and a foreign currency and everything else, there's always challenges. And this one was no different. I think it was mostly pretty smooth. We actually ended up working with a production company that does the great series Narcos on Netflix. So we were pretty good hands in terms of that. But at the same time, you know, we most of us aren't fluent Spanish speakers. And, you know, there's a whole currency system to lock down. And so those things kind of become barriers. Also, the interesting things we learned as we got there was Bogota is 8,000 feet in the air. It's the third highest elevated city in the world. So we were even just walking, carrying around a 35-pound sniper rifle, I'm like, why am I so winded right now? Where's all the air in this city? So that made for some interesting days of shooting the action scenes.
No, yeah. So physically, you guys had to do some adjustment, or get adapted to the climate, the altitude.
Totally. Yeah. It really made a difference in a way that I pride myself on coming on in shape for these films and everything else. But you know, then I hit a couple flights of stairs in Bogota. I'm like, oh, hey, where's all the air? Did someone take the air out of the building?
So is there anything different or unexpected that you could tell the fans that Ultimate Kill might bring as a different angle? I mean, you've mentioned obviously the overall plot line. Is there anything that you guys are throwing at them differently? Besides having an amazing cast, that's going to be amazing to see all of them together. So
I think that this movie is interesting and one of the best that we've done story-wise, because we really go – We explore, you know, this concept of PTSD, and we start to see Brandon, my character, he's a little bit more battle-worn. He's a little more world-weary. He's done these things. He's, you know, got a kill count in the dozens and dozens and dozens now, and he's starting to see the tolls that it takes on soldiers he came up with, and he starts really questioning, you know, how much longer can he do this before he becomes a statistic. And not just a statistic, meaning some better sniper will take him out. He's kind of fearing for his own psychological health, you know, and the toll that this takes, you know, pulling the trigger on these people over and over and over and over and over again. It's a lot that bears down on your conscience. So we kind of have that theme that we explore a little bit with Brandon, and I think he's just got more of a dirty feel to him. He's got more of a, like I was saying before, just kind of battered and beaten and you know, battle-weary kind of feel to him, because he has been around the world. He has pulled the trigger a lot of times. And it's an interesting kind of layer to the film that we've not really explored maybe as well in previous films. And I think that coupled with, you know, we spend time, you know, me and Billy's character and Tom Berenger's character, and Tom Berenger for the audience, you know, he plays my father, my absentee father, and he was the original star of the sniper franchise, and his character Thomas Beckett. So we're bridging the gap, the son gap in this movie a lot more. And you know, I've got a great female co-lead in this. Her name is Danai Garcia. She's the star on one of the stars of Fear the Walking Dead on AMC. She's wonderful. She's fantastic in this movie, and we've got our own kind of like love-hate dynamic in this film. So it's really, really fun. It's really, really interesting. Everyone does a great job. Even Joe Lando, who played one of the roles, who's kind of like a government talking suit, he was phenomenal. And I've known Joe for many, many years. I was really excited to work with Joe on this project. And for those that don't know, Joe was world famous for such a long time playing this great show, Dr. Quinn and the Medicine Woman. And so he's really, really well known. Yeah. And so he just brought the ruckus in this movie, and he couldn't have been better casting. So we've got a great cast and a good story, and we touch on a lot of really interesting layered themes in this one. And I think that, like I was saying before, it just makes for probably the best movie we've done overall.
Oh, very good. Fine. Now, when is it released, and how is it going to be released in the beginning?
It'll be released next Tuesday, October 3rd. And it's going to be on Blu-ray and digital, as these films typically are.
Mm-hmm.
So Amazon, iTunes, any place where you can, you know, buy, or a brick-and-mortar store like a Walmart or a Target, you know, any place you can pick up a DVD or Blu-ray or order it online. I think that you can also do the rental thing online and check it out that way. So, yeah, Amazon Video or anything else like that, you'll be able to check it out there.
Perfect. So Sniper Ultimate Kill comes out October 3rd. And so everyone check it out. And if you haven't watched the Sniper series, then back up and watch all of them. Brandon, which is Chad, is amazing. And we've always enjoyed having him. But Ultimate Kill sounds like it'll be a different twist, and so we're excited to see it. So now I'd love to talk about Extinct. And first of all, tell us a little bit about the background. I mean, you're kind of the leader of the few humans, I think, that are left in the far, far future. I think it's like 400 years or something. So give us a little kind of overview of what the series is. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, Extinct is a new sci-fi series that I have coming out on Sunday, October 1st. And it's a great sci-fi action adventure, action-packed kind of series that takes us 400 years into the future. And we as human beings have been annihilated. We have been completely wiped out, made extinct by an invading alien race. And 400 years down the road, on this empty, lonely planet called Earth, we have a kind of benevolent, kind of seemingly nice alien race come down, and using their alien technology, they decide they have a master plan to restore the human race, and that's going to take people, obviously, to start with. So they use their alien technology to bring a few of us back using the organics from water and nature and air and their, you know, little wizardry, you know, robots. And they bring a handful back. And they bring us back with our memories intact. So we remember the devastation, we remember our loved ones that we've lost. And our brain states are completely intact as well. So we are exact duplicates of who we were when we were killed. And we wake up and there's a couple strangers here, and I'm the first one, kind of, we call it reborn. I don't know who these people are next to me. I don't know where we are. I don't know that it's 400 years in the future. I don't know what our purpose is. I don't have any idea what I'm here to do, but I do remember that my family is not around and that the aliens did come and destroy us all, and where is my brother, and that sort of stuff. So it's really fun in the way that they set up this universe. You know, we're down the road and we don't get very many answers, and that's always the case with sci-fi. Once you get an answer, there's 10 more questions. So that's kind of the basic premise, is that we are reborn into the future, and we're on the run trying to survive the harsh environments and making use of whatever there is available to survive, whether that's bow and arrows or leathers, or so it's got kind of a medieval feel to it, Mad Max, post-apocalyptic. And we're on the run from the alien. We're on the run from the alien race that still resides on Earth that took us out. So we're kind of trying to survive on all fronts. And worst of all, we don't get very much cooperation or straight answers from the alien race that you know, made us come back here. So it's kind of a struggle. And then, of course, the internal struggle of why are we here? What are we doing? What do we do with this kind of second chance to bring human beings back? So it's really, really a fun, interesting world in this way. And we incorporate a lot of really awesome flashback stories to happier times, to time of the alien invasion and the being a resistance fighters and stuff like this. So it's really, really, really cool kind of universe and world that these writers created.
Very cool. Now, do you also... since this is an alien race that has come and kind of are trying to help the human race come back, and you're currently at that period in 400 years, you have the flashbacks in your memories, but at the current, in the future, at the current setting, do you also have an enemy on Earth, or do you have a conflict there also, or is it really the conflict of trying to figure out what it's all about and your past and struggling with where you're at that moment?
Yeah, we have, you know, the aliens that we're actually on the run from. So there is, you know, without getting too spoilery, the main, I can say a little bit because, you know, this Sunday when everyone watches the first episode, this will be, you know, made plain. But there is a, you know, this alien species that inhabits Earth. And they're called, you know, skin riders, and they're more of a parasite that uses the human body as a host. And that's kind of what we are on the run from. That's kind of what who we were trying, you know, to survive against in terms of a true enemy of the human beings. Because their whole thing is, yeah, they're alien parasites, and they need a host. So, they're, you know, you're either with us, or we use your body and assimilate it, or we kill you. So, it's kind of like... you know, give up power and control in your consciousness or die. So it's obviously those people are to be avoided at all costs.
Okay, so not only are you emotionally dealing with a lot, which the flashbacks obviously help develop each character and give us insight to being able to be part of the journey, but you're dealing with what's happening right there too and why you're existing then. So it sounds like there's lots of angles and twists that can kind of come through this series.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, we're also, I mean, it's 400 years in the future. We're talking aliens, so, like, you've got your requisite awesome alien spaceships, and you've got your this and your that and all sorts of the alien technology that pops up here and there. But you've also got a lot of really fun, like, medieval throwback stuff in this series because we are survivors. We are making use of what's left over 400 years later. So, you know, I rock a 5-foot, you know, longbow, a bow and arrow in this, you know, because we have to hunt with it. We have to hunt with this. There's a lot of, you know, hand-to-hand kind of fighting in the action sequences and you know, staffs and spears and stuff like that. So it's kind of a really fun throwback. Even our costumes are look like, you know, pieces, custom pieces of, like, leather and scrap and whatever else. So it's really got a fun, futuristic yet medieval feel to the entire tone of the show, just given the circumstances and that we are trying to start the human race over. So there's a primitive element to it, yet we are 400 years in the future, so there's a futuristic element as well.
So now working with BYU TV, this is a different network, not one of our mainstream ones, and you're filming probably, I don't know what where you actually filmed the location was. Tell us a little bit about working with a different network that's kind of a little more quiet. I mean, because we don't see them. It's not one you just pick up and it's not a sci-fi station or ABC. So talk a little bit about working with a different kind of group as far as this production. It's always nice to hear about different groups that I think are doing things.
We were excited to start in here. So, you know, first of all, you know, we made a 10-episode really awesome sci-fi series, but we clearly don't have the budget of a Game of Thrones. And so it was really an interesting challenge, but our leaders, our showrunner, our producers, our writers and everything, they come from the indie film world. And the series could not have been made if we did not have these geniuses who can take very little money and make it look 10 times more. And so we shot all in Utah, the beautiful state of Utah, and we were probably 75% outdoors on location for this series. And we were in the deserts of St. George where they filmed the original Star Trek. We were at 115 degrees to start. We finished up on snow-covered mountains, you know, and we were in Zion's National Park, and we were Kanab, which is where so many John Wayne Western films were filmed, and we were in underground in lava tubes and all sorts of other, we're at lakes up in the mountains and, you know, getting our set invaded by a rogue moose. Happened one of those times. So the whole series was basically shot outdoors, and we had some sound stages with some amazing kind of alien spaceship sets and stuff like this that get revealed as the series goes on. But we were outdoors, and we put the full state of Utah on display, and it's a gorgeous place, and incredibly diverse.
Yeah.
It is really amazing. So we did that, and you know, BYU TV is the network. It's the second scripted show they've ever done. They did a series called Granite Flats a few years ago, but it feels like this is kind of their big push. This is kind of like, hey, everyone, we're here. And they basically, I think, the wonderful thing that I love about BYU TV is that they're kind of a values-based network in that their motto is see the good in the world. So we created this very, you know, PG action-adventure sci-fi series that literally, like I know, you know, you're a Once Upon a Time fan, families can watch Once Upon a Time. And there's enough intrigue and drama for the adults, yet for the kids, they get to see the fun costumes and all the action and all the really neat stuff. But, you know, everyone is kind of entertained at all levels, and no one needs to leave the room at any point during the show. And that's what we made here. It's kind of got the values, yet the exploration of like a Star Trek, where anyone can really just all sit down together and totally enjoy like a really good, interesting, clean, fun ride. But we're not lacking for action. We're not lacking for adventure. It's kind of like an Indiana Jones thing, just kind of where, you know, Spielberg was always so great because he can make something that engages all ages and all walks and do it in a roller coaster ride that never stops. And I think we did that too here. And that's kind of the nice thing about working with BYU TV is that we made a show that can compete with The Walking Dead. It can compete with all the other great genre shows out there, yet we don't have to hit you over the head with a lot of violence, and we're not going to have blood and gore everywhere like The Walking Dead does. And, you know, we're not going to have it be scandalous and rated R like a Game of Thrones either. So I'm really proud of that, and I think that we accomplished what we wanted to do in that way.
I know that's exciting because, you know, there's one thing that TV has evolved that there's so much out there for everyone, but, you know, sometimes I think that I'm a huge science fiction person and a comic geek, and, you know, I often feel like some of the things that I truly enjoy may still get missed by a younger population. It's like, I'm glad it's out there, but they've got to wait till they're 13 or 15. It's like, yeah, this is not, you know. So that's exciting that you can expose all ages to be creative and to use their mind. And all of this is, you know, it is science fiction, and it's really cool. You know, it's just a story, and you get to see all the effects and costumes. You're right. That's very cool. So I'm excited to hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you find anything working on a low budget? I know it's always tough, and you said a lot of people from the indie section kind of jumped in, which I know some of these indie guys are amazing. What was the toughest thing to accomplish? You know, was it the heat outside, or was it, having to kind of make up your prop and figure out how to use it really quickly because you didn't have, you know, what do you feel like was some of your challenges?
Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, and it's a catch-22, you know, shooting on location in this way, because the locations are incredible and they add such value to the show itself. It makes the show look so epic and awesome in this way. But they're also, you know, locations and being outdoors and these landscapes can be your worst enemies too. Saying, I wasn't kidding when I said we were in a desert filming the first episode. It was 115 degrees and we were in all black, head to toe, long sleeve, and it was basically, you know, snow gear, snowboard gear, and motocross gear and stuff like this. So, you know, it's fun because you can kind of use it as an actor. You can kind of use that discomfort. You can use those elements to kind of give a better performance. But on a long enough timeline, then there's things like heat stroke. And so some of our poor crew definitely after those days had to be looked after, you know, medically. So
yeah.
It can be challenging in that way. And we, you know, and conversely, we were, you know, in single digit temperatures filming for entire days
mm-hmm.
straight. And, you know, we've got costumes, but our costumes are not, you know, big North Face jackets. Our costumes are like kind of very thin material, and you can't have jackets on or a hat on or even gloves when you're shooting so much of this stuff. So days on end of being in, you know, 8, 9, 10 degree weather and then snow coming as well and wind, it can be really challenging. You know, it's hard to say your line sometimes and not have your teeth chattering a mile a minute. So I think it's great, and I think our cast is really, really tough, and I don't think a lot of them had been exposed to these crazy elements like maybe I have in my career, so I knew it was coming. But they all really gutted it out, and they all held strong to their performances, and we kind of survived the elements, and I think we won. I think the humans won.
Now, I've interviewed a lot of indie, and I know you've done some indie, and a lot of times when I talk to them, it always does come around kind of budgets, but also it comes around those short filming days. Film it in 20 days, film it in 28 days, get it done,
oh, yeah.
You know, in that 30 days and under. Did you feel the same kind of rush with this series? Was it constrained in a certain time frame to get done, or was it set up a little different, more like a typical TV show where you shoot 12 hours and keep going? So
I got to say, like, it's so a typical, you know, network TV show runs about 43 minutes, right? So to count
right.
for the commercials, the advertising. So BYU TV, as generous as they are, they're a nonprofit network, like a PBS. So
mm-hmm.
they give
mm-hmm.
you everything for free, and it's commercial free. They don't have corporate advertisers on their network. So we had to come up with between 52 and 55 minutes of content per episode. Yet we were on the same kind of 8-day shooting schedule that most standard 1-hour dramas get to shoot, except those other 1-hour dramas get 8 days to create 43 minutes. We only had 8 days to create 52 to 55 minutes, which if you talk to anybody in the industry, to get an extra 10 pages, like 10 minutes of footage, it's a lot. So we were kind of double timing it to, you know, we had longer scripts, we had bigger scripts, we had more scenes to shoot, we had less days to do it, you know, overall. So it was a true effort, you know, a true example of collaboration. And again, testament to, you know, it moves fast. TV moves fast in general. Mm-hmm. You're having to shoot, you know, 10 pages of a script a day, usually. And that's hard to do. And if we didn't have masters of the crew and all the different jobs and positions, and of course our overseers, our producers, and everybody else at the helm of this thing, like, there's no way we could have created this and done it well. So it was a challenge. We were moving really fast, and it was a blur. I look back now, and I'm like, where did that 6 months of my life go? It's just endless nonstop, but all so much fun all along the way.
Well, congratulations. I'm excited to watch it. And for our listeners, since it is on the BYU TV, and some people are familiar and not familiar with it, do you know how people can have access? Because it's not, sometimes it may not be in the normal listing. So how do people access mm-hmm. this so we can kind of get it out there? What do they need to do?
I literally just had this conversation with my parents yesterday. So I'm really well versed in breaking this down for people. So BYU TV, if you have regular cable or satellite package, you know, and you've got the kind of an extensive package, you can find it. You got to search for where BYU TV is, but it's usually there. But we make it even easier in terms of watching this show. All their content is free on their website. So you can go to byutv.org/extinct, and you can watch it right there come Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m., 9 p.m. Eastern. But what's even more fun is they created a free BYU TV app. So any sort of app like your Hulu or Netflix or Amazon apps that you would have, you can download the free BYU TV app and stream everything off of that. And if you do stream off the app, they are actually making the first 8 episodes available to binge watch starting Sunday night instead of just the 2-part series premiere if you were watching on cable TV. So if you download the app, you got some perks coming at you. You can watch the first eight, but then you will then you will have to wait until November 19th for the two-part season finale.
Gotcha. So I'm a little naive here too. We just got Dish, and I have a Fire Stick, and we're using it, and we just downloaded like the CBS app. And so you're telling me, I just want to make sure, if I can't find it in my listing, I don't know, I could download the app just like I have the CBS app, and I think we do have an Amazon app. So it would just come up on my TV and download that same app to watch it, correct?
Yeah, I use an Amazon Fire TV, which is very similar to the, you know, Amazon Fire Stick. And, yeah, you just search for the app. You search for the BYU TV app and download it, and there you go. Free extinct.
Well, there you go, guys. See, there is no excuse. You can either go to the computer, go to the website, or download it in several ways. Or your cable probably has it if you guys are out there. So just look up. And we'll make sure we'll put the links, obviously, up with our little interview and give everybody access to both of these, the trailer for Sniper and Ultimate Kill, and then they can, you know, follow anything for it and also Extinct. What else do you have going on right now, Chad, or what's coming up?
I've got those two are the big ones that are happening right around the corner here, but we've actually been getting closer to the release of a really fun film that I did last year in Dallas called Howlers. And Howlers is a really fun, like, 80s John Carpenter, Wyatt Earp meets Blade action horror kind of film, you know. It's a lot, but trust me, I'm accurate. I promise you, when you finally see it, you'll see that I'm making sense, even if it doesn't sound like it. I play an Old West cowboy, and I'm the lead in it, named Colt, and he's an Old West cowboy, he's an old gunslinger, and he's a werewolf slayer, you know, from the 1800s. And he kind of rests in his grave, thinking his job is done. He finds himself mysteriously transported to the present day to track down this band of werewolves that's ripping apart a small town and kind of finish the job and hang his hat. So it's really
very
fun.
Cool.
It's got Sean Patrick Flannery in it, who's wonderful, and the whole thing is just, I've never done more action sequences in my entire career. It was like a 19-day shoot, and I swear there were some days where I was doing fight choreography for 10, 12 straight hours. And then the next day, it'd be another 10 hours, but it'd be totally different setups, totally different werewolves to beat on or get beat on by. And just, you know, revolver, rifle, old school, crossbow, double battle axes, feet, fists, cowboy boots, you know. We even throw some old hot rods in there. We throw some custom choppers, some custom motorcycles in there too. So it's really, really fun, and I cannot wait for this to hit. We actually just released our poster, which is just a really, really cool kind of 80s feel to this poster. So yeah, I'm excited for this. Early 2018, as I think is what they're thinking for the release on.
We'll touch base beforehand and do a fun talk about and get it out there. And it's funny you said that you felt like it was more intense because you've done four snipers. How can you know? That's a pretty intense physically. You've done some intense things there, so it's hard to think that you've done nonstop. So
this was crazy. I mean, I was, you know, shootouts, bar fights, you know, squaring off one on one with werewolves, squaring off against six werewolves at one time. It was nuts. It was really
exciting.
Quite fun though. Yeah, I've never gotten a pool stick broken over my back. I've never been able to smash someone else's bottle. I got to do all these things in this movie, so it was really, really quite fun.
And so the little boy really had fun.
Oh, big time. Big time.
Yeah, that's exactly what I just heard. The little boy, yes.
Yeah. So. Well, I'm only doing it to satisfy my inner little boy. This is the only reason I do the acting stuff. I'm playing pretend for a living. I just don't want to grow up, Michelle.
You know, Chad, if we all grow up, it would be hard because the world's not easy right now. I think we have to keep happy and use what we enjoy. And I think that, you know, if we're not enjoying life, you know, you got to step out. Yeah.
What is the point?
Life's too hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Sometimes there's a little bit of a delay.
No problem at all.
So.
Yeah, it can be, so let's just keep on playing pretend, huh?
Yeah, you know, and just enjoy life, or try to anyway. Well, Chad, as always, I thoroughly enjoy talking to you and catching up with you and hearing what you have going on. What is, if I have a new listener or if some of the listeners need to re-find you, what are some of the social medias that they can track down to keep up with you?
Sure, yeah, come say hi. I'm on Instagram and Twitter is at Collins Chad M, and on Facebook, my Facebook fan page is at Chad Michael Collins, so facebook.com/ChadMichaelCollins. That's the easiest way to find me. And ChadMichaelCollins.com is my website, which I always have pictures and everything you could ever want, you know, about me. If you want to waste your time reading about me, that's a good place to go and do it.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to post that up there, and we'll get it out. And as always, it was great talking to you.
Cool. Thanks so much, Michelle. Always a pleasure.